The holidays are hot upon us, and for some people, we have different feels about the holidays. Some people get excited, some people get stressed, and I think most people, well, you feel both. We're going to dive today into an episode we did a year ago, almost to the date. It's 4 tips to thrive during the holidays. 2 of the tips that we're going to provide are nutritionally related, 2 are mindset related, and we are going to dive into the science of alcohol and food. So we hope you enjoy this throwback episode. Let's go. The most energetic, fit, and stress-resilient people on the planet practice daily habits to keep their hormones balanced, their gut healthy, and their muscles and mind strong. Welcome to That Fitness Couple. We're Mike and Corey Beth Lepowski, founders of Pure Physique.
This podcast is designed to provide you with everything we've discovered and continue to discover about nutrition, training, and lifestyle. Today, we all live hectic lives.
So we've made it our mission to make your fitness time efficient and to build you up. Hope you share and enjoy. Let's dive into today's episode. Let's go.
If you are tuning in today because you are looking for some practical ways in order to get through this holiday season without the weight gain, then this is going to be the episode for you. But let's just start off with this. The holiday season is made up of individual holidays. It's not a holiday month. It's a holiday. And when we first understand how to navigate that holiday, well, then we also have the tools to navigate the rest of the days during the holiday season.
So we're going to lay out 4 tips for you that we, as parents, as working parents, you know, doing all the busy things that you do too, are really, we believe, going to help you navigate it, feel empowered going through it, and ditching some of the stuff that maybe has not been serving you in the past. So I'm going to lay out these 4 tips for you. Then we're going to dive into each one. We're going to dig out some science, some practical ways that you guys can apply this into your life. And I really think you're going to love it. So let's get started. Our first tip is to prioritize protein. This is one of Mike's favorite topics. You're going to love this one. Our second is that decisiveness is sexy. You didn't think I was going to say that, but it is the truth. 3rd, we do not have any place for shame or guilt. I know my ladies are going to like that one. And then 4th, be mindful of drinking and eating. Mike's going to blow your mind. So let's dive into the first one. Prioritize the protein. Why, Mike, is this so important for us, not just to do during the holiday season, but for us to do year round?
All right. So let me first set the stage for this one. If you are showing up to your holiday party and the first thing that you're going for are the puff pastries during the appetizer session, then you're in trouble. If you're sitting down to your dinner and your plate is loaded up with the potatoes and the rice and all the other high carbohydrate foods, you're setting yourself up for disaster.
What about the chips? That's the first thing everybody puts out. Chips, here's some crummy chips.
That falls exactly into that category of setting yourself up for disaster. Now, the reason why I'm saying this, and some people are gonna say, Mike, you are way overhyping this, and maybe I am a little, just because I wanna push a point home, is that when we set ourselves up by eating lots of carbohydrates, especially refined carbohydrates, those are the foods that tend to trigger our cravings, they trigger our hunger, and they put us in a position where we want to eat more of them. And then we leave ourselves less room for the foods that are actually going to serve us. So this ties right into the prioritizing protein, because when you show up during that appetizer session, the thing that you should be going for are the higher protein foods. So think of the charcuterie board with the nice meats and the cheeses. Those are absolutely great options. When you sit down to your dinner, the majority of your plate should be filled with whatever protein is being served, whether that's, you know, turkey on Thanksgiving, ham during Christmas, your, you know, 7 fishes during Christmas Eve for those who are very Italian. So all of those high protein foods are actually what we want to set ourselves up to consume, because when we consume higher protein foods, it tends to satiate us a lot better than those high carbohydrate foods. On top of that, it tends to put us in a position where we crave less. So the thing is this, whenever somebody gets hungry, nobody ever says, oh my gosh, let me just go and eat a ton of protein. What do? You go for the high carbohydrate foods or even the high fat foods. Why? Well, because these foods tend to give you that dopamine hit. And once you have some of that dopamine hit, you gotta have more. I mean, to be quite honest, like, they've compared sugar to crack cocaine, and the addiction level is just about the same. So that should just put in the back of your mind that when you are consuming those foods first, instead of prioritizing protein, chances are it's going to lead to you overeating, overconsuming a lot of the things that are not going to serve you. But the great thing about protein is that that food is going to satiate you. And now you're not going to be sent all those signals to your brain that, hey, we need to overconsume more of this. But even if you did overconsume protein, you're actually still in a better position than if you were overconsuming carbohydrates and or fats.
That is so good. Well, the one part you did leave out is Thanksgiving. We didn't eat turkey as a family. In fact, we ate steak. And it was a pretty popular story on our Instagram account because people were like, you guys really ate steak for Thanksgiving? Yes, we did. And I just want to add in there, because that is such amazing and practical information, is when we go for those chips are also loaded with seed oils. And a lot of those carbohydrates tend to be gut busters, whereas healthier proteins, they are better for our gut. It's actually easier digested in our gut. We're not sending hormones up to our brain to make us eat more. I've never heard anyone say, I overate chicken today. Never once.
It never happens. And, you know, again, that plays into this food selection. Even if we're eating the fattier proteins, like on that charcuterie board, all the nice Italian meats that you get there, you know, those foods, they do taste very good. And that's because of the higher fat content. But if we are to put this in perspective, and if the remainder of our meal or, you know, that day, we're keeping our carbohydrates a little bit lower, it's okay to be higher on the fat side if we're consuming those alongside protein. So that's oftentimes the approach that we like to take, not even just during the holiday season, but this tends to be the approach. I mean, even if we're going out to eat, it's like leave a lot of the refined stuff to the side or just have it in very minimal amounts. Like get your taste, enjoy it, but then you should really put the focus on the protein and fat consumption.
Well, and so that's our encouragement for you guys is when you look at your plate or you're planning out your meal or you're looking at the menu at a restaurant, what is the protein that you're going to load up on? And I'm not saying to the point where you're stuffed or full or anything like that, but what is the protein? You know, I go out now to restaurants as an adult, having lost 30 pounds, overcoming IBS and all that stuff. And I look at the pasta section and I'm like, first of all, who wants to go to a restaurant and pay $20 or $25 for a bowl of 10-cent pasta? Like, let's just be honest. That to me is just, I know that it's nice sauce and all of that, but this is just, again, how my brain works. So when I look at the menu, I'm like, all right, what is the protein I'm going to be eating? Is it going to be fish or steak or chicken or turkey or pork or whatever it's going to be? Prioritize your protein. Do it at home. Give it a try. See how it works for you. We promise you're going to feel a bit more full and less apt to go for the carbs.
You know what? Not only that, not just prioritize the protein, but also feel free to ask for a little bit extra. I mean, I think that's the one thing that often happens is we wind up in these situations where, you know, we feel as if we can only have the little bit that's there, but feel free to add a little extra protein because you know that that's what's going to fill you up. That's going to make you feel satiated and that's going to help you to avoid some of the other things. Now, just before we move on to the next thing, if I could just say one more thing. We are pushing this point of not overeating on this particular day, but in full disclosure, full truthfulness, a recent study that I just saw came out, and I was like, yeah, you know what? That's so true. If we break it down, during that holiday, you may consume another, say, 1,000 calories above what you normally consume. But in this particular research study, they showed that 7 consecutive days of people eating over 1,000 calories above their maintenance levels, they only gained about 1.5 pounds of body fat, and then they gained about 1.5 pounds of lean mass, which was typically in the form of water weight. So just to put it in perspective, you're not going to completely blow your entire fitness journey or your ability to lose body fat in one day. But the challenge is for many people, as we started off talking about here, they turn the holiday into holidays, and the entire month of December becomes a recurring theme of eating the same way you would on, say, Christmas Eve, doing that about 5, 6, 7 times over the course of the month.
That's pretty interesting. Lots of last points we could drive home there, huh, Mike?
I guess so.
All right, let's move on to number 2, and that is decisiveness is sexy. And the way I like to think about this is this. Imagine that you're in a boat with us, and we're going down the Amazon River. I mean, it's beautiful. There's trees and monkeys and vines and all sorts of stuff all around us. And the tour guide says, oh, there's a fork in the river ahead. I don't know if we should go right or left. We're going to be sitting in the boat like, is this guy for real? And then we get up to that fork and they're like, okay, right. No, left, left. Let's go left. We're going to be sitting in that boat like, get me out of here. Whereas if we were going down the same river and we had a different tour guide that said, all right, everyone, there's a fork in the road ahead. We're heading right. You'd be like, all right, cool. This guy knows what he's talking about. We don't need to rely on someone else to do that for us. We actually can do that for ourselves. And when we make decisions, we can kind of see ourselves as sexy. I mean, I like to say to Mike, yes, I want to go out to dinner tonight. Or no, I am making dinner at home. I mean, I always want to go out. I never really want to cook. But we cook much more often than we do not. But be decisive. And what I say, or what I mean when I say that is, when you walk into the holiday staff party, the whatever you're going to, I'm like, my brain just literally blanked. Whatever you're walking into, be decisive about what you're going to do there. Mike and I will often have conversations, and this is where it's great for you and your spouse or your partner to be on the same page, you and a friend to be buddies or accountability buddies here. And we'll say, or I'll say to him, I'm not going to drink. And he's like, all right, cool. I am. Or I'll say, hey, I am going to drink. And he's like, fine, I won't. I'll drive home. Right? We make those decisions before we put ourselves in a situation, because when you're in that situation, it's so easy to be led by others or to be wishy-washy or to change your mind. And I think one of the worst things we can be in life is wishy-washy. It just makes me think of like soft, yucky muck, you know? I want to be decisive about my health decisions. And it's okay to change your mind. I'm not saying that you have to say, next Friday, I'm going to eat 50 grams of protein and nothing more. You can get to that night and say, you know what? I've changed my mind. I've decided this, but be decisive in your actions.
Yeah, I love this topic. And, you know, the thing that I feel so many people don't recognize is that, especially around the holidays, you probably have a blueprint. And, you know, your blueprint might be, oh, well, you know, I always eat like this time of year, or there's no way I could show up to, you know, the holiday party and not eat grandma's honey balls, or at least not indulge on them every single day during the holiday season. So a lot of us have this blueprint and we're going into this situation completely unaware that we have this blueprint running in the background. And I think that that's why, you know, Corey Beth mentioning us talking out what our intentions are is so important, because then all of a sudden we start to recognize, oh my gosh, yeah, I used to always enter these staff holiday parties of the mindset that, well, hey, it's just a staff party and, you know, it only happens once a year, so I'm just going to do whatever. And listen, that might be fine for that one evening if that's what you want to do. But if you start to recognize that, oh my gosh, I don't just do that during the staff holiday party, I do that in every social situation. Now you can address your blueprint and start to come up with a new blueprint that's going to serve you in the long run.
That is so good. And I think even, you know, you mentioned Struffoli. That's a lot of people's favorite holiday treat. I mean, when we left Thanksgiving dinner, my mom offered for us to take food. Mike walked away with an entire container of steak.
It's amazing.
Thanks, Mom. And she said to me, do you want to take any desserts? Now, again, the cool thing about our family is my entire side is gluten-free. So it just works out, again, for me having suffered from IBS. But I literally said, yes, we will take some dessert. I will take two small pieces of pumpkin pie, one for each boy, you know, and that's it. And you can walk away from it and feel good about it instead of being like, you know, yeah, give me that entire thing of Struffoli. I'm going to snack on that all week. I mean, listen, when you eat food, we often think, how is this going to taste? But I want to flip your thinking to, how is this going to make me feel? And if I were to sit there every day and eat the pumpkin pie or the Struffoli or whatever, I'm not going to be as focused. I'm going to get fatigued during the day. In fact, you know, as you may be aware, we use intermittent fasting. And for me, as soon as I have that first meal, I know my energy is going to dip slightly because now I've introduced food into my system. And I'm not suggesting that you don't eat. I'm just so hyper aware of that. I feel so focused right now recording this while I'm still in my fasting window. And once I introduce food, I know I'm going to slow down a little bit. But I know if I throw in Struffoli or sugar cookies or gingerbread cookies, I mean, I might as well go take a nap. I know it's going to make me feel absolutely exhausted. So think about that. Be decisive, you know, examine your blueprint and then really think, how is this food going to make me feel? And I promise it's a lot easier to make decisions that way than based on your emotions. Hey, we hope you're enjoying our show and finding it valuable. If you could do us a quick favor, it would mean the world to us. Please take a moment to rate and review our podcast on your favorite platform. Your reviews help us reach more people and share our message. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Thanks for being awesome and supporting us. Now, back to the show. All right, should we move into number three?
Let's do it.
There's no place for shame or guilt. You want to help me dive in here?
I think that this also plays into that blueprint scenario where we have this theme running in the background that this is what I do at this time of year or on this particular day. But then the problem is that once we come out of that situation, a lot of people tend to put this feeling of shame or guilt, like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Oh my gosh, I wish I didn't do that. And that's really not the place you want to be operating out of. Like, that is not a powerful position to be in. That is you giving up your power, right? So we want to empower you to recognize that should you make this decision that you are going to overeat, that you are going to enjoy all the treats that get put out, well, then own that. And it's totally okay if you do. But I think the biggest challenge that we see with a lot of clients in particular is, you know, they set out with the intent of doing things a certain way. And when it doesn't work out that way, that's when all the shame and the guilt gets poured out. And then it just creates this cascading effect of bad decisions afterwards.
I love that. And bad hormones too, because then all of a sudden we have cortisol dump because we're stressed and we feel terrible. And what we know to be true about hormones is we don't necessarily need to eat food for our stomach to be in a position where it produces acid. You can just feel an emotion and your gut will produce acid. So if you sit in a place of guilt where you just beat yourself up, because let's be honest, you're a lot meaner to yourself than other people are. Sit on that for a second. When we sit there, we actually have a hormonal impact of those thoughts in our body. I mean, our thoughts create feelings. Our feelings over a long enough period turn into emotions, and that emotional state is a place where a lot of people live. I mean, I lived there for a long time where I'm like, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have eaten all those animal crackers. Why did I eat all those animal crackers? Why did I think that was a good idea? Why do I always do that? Why do I always do this to myself? I mean, these are all the questions that would go through my head where I sit there just beating myself up. And again, you know, when we think about our brain, you actually only have so much real estate space in your brain to be thinking about your present moment. You have subconscious processes, you have a blueprint like Mike mentioned, and then you have automatic processes in your body that take up brain space, but you don't even know that they're happening, like your ability to breathe or for your heart to beat. And so when we fill that real estate space with guilt, it's really hard to think about anything else. It's hard to be present. And I remember sitting in my teaching job, just thinking about animal crackers. And I had a student come up and tap me on the arm. And I mean, it was like as though I was totally daydreaming. I was living in guilt. So again, if we go back to point two, when you are decisive, you get to own your decisions and we don't fall into tip three, no place for shame and guilt, because you said, hey, I made a decision. I'm cool with it. Good, negative, positive, however you want to look at it. You made a decision. Just see the decision for the decision. And that's it.
I think the little fact that I gave everybody before about understanding that a single day is not going to make or break your progress, I think is really important here, because when you recognize that, when you realize, oh wait, actually the science points to one day not absolutely blowing up all this work that I'm putting in, then you should be able to walk away without shame and guilt. Because if it's something that you're not doing on an everyday basis, then guess what? You're still on the plan. You're still tracking towards your goals. Now, granted, you may have hit a little speed bump, may have slowed down a little bit of that momentum, but you're still on track. In fact, I had this visual one day. I'm like, for a lot of people, what they do is it's like driving from one end of the parking lot to another. Now, if it's a commercial parking lot, right, if there were no speed bumps, you could probably get from one end to the other like relatively quickly. And granted, there's no pedestrians in the way. But the moment you start driving and you have to stop every 20 or 30 yards for a speed bump, everything slows down. So technically, you could get from one end to the other in probably less than 5 seconds. But what winds up happening is because of all the speed bumps, maybe because of some of those pedestrians walking out in front of your car, all of a sudden that 5 seconds turns into 20. And it's the same thing related to our nutrition or our journey. We start moving along, and oftentimes for people, it's the weekend, right? That's your speed bump. And now all of a sudden, it's not that you totally disrupted everything that you've been doing, but you've slowed yourself down. So when people start to wonder, why is this taking so long? Why am I not getting there? Well, those speed bumps are the reason why. And I think for a lot of us, this particular holiday season is that speed bump. So we're just here to tell you, recognize these speed bumps. But listen, don't stack them on top of each other. You have the opportunity to go over one, maybe two speed bumps, but don't make the entire month just a stack of speed bumps for yourself.
That's an amazing analogy. I've never heard you use that one before.
I've never used it. I'm taking a cue from you.
The queen of analogies.
Yes.
Nice job, Mike. All right, number four, be mindful of drinking and eating. Now, back in the day, I'm talking like 80s and 90s, maybe more 90s, we had SAD, which was Students Against Drunk Driving. Awesome organization. And then they created MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. We are here to tell you at Pure Physique, we don't say, well, we also do say don't drink and drive. Don't drink and drive, friends. But also don't eat and drink. Now, that might sound a little bit crazy, and Mike is going to give you a practical way to actually put this into action. But first, Mike, I think it's so important that you explain to our amazing viewers why it's so important not to pair food up with alcohol.
It starts with this. First, we need to understand that our bodies at all times are burning either glucose, which is sugar, as a source of energy, or fat. And our bodies operate very much like a hybrid vehicle, where in a healthy condition, a healthy metabolism, we can go back and forth between burning fat and burning sugar. And so that's a great place to be in. However, when we introduce alcohol, alcohol in and of itself is something that the body recognizes as a poison. And what the body recognizes is that we have to do something with this. We need to metabolize this alcohol. And when your body metabolizes alcohol, it turns it into acetate, which can be used as a form of energy. No, it's not a good form of energy like the carbohydrates or the fats, but it's a source of energy nonetheless. So what happens is for many people is we enter these situations, let's just use the holiday party example, and immediately, what do? You grab a drink. And then what do? You start grabbing the hors d'oeuvres. And now you're eating and you're drinking, and then this continues through the entire night. So in that scenario though, had you not grabbed the drink and you were just consuming those higher protein appetizers, your body is very likely to still be burning fat as a source of fuel. Now, if we went ahead and switched off and we started eating some carbohydrates, your body's gonna start to recognize that, hey, we gotta metabolize these carbohydrates that we're taking in. I mean, this puff pastry is not gonna necessarily serve me right now. So let's do something with this. But the challenge for many of us is we get into this situation, we add alcohol into the equation. So instead of burning carbohydrates, instead of burning fats, our body immediately recognizes that it has to metabolize that alcohol. So what do you think happens, Corey Beth, to fat burning and carbohydrate burning at that time?
Mike's talking to college Corey Beth right now. Well, what I've learned is that we cannot go into a state of alcohol poisoning in our body. So because our body is processing the alcohol, it stores our food as fat.
That is correct. So yes, when we are drinking and eating in excess at the same time, most especially, that is when our body is most primed to store the food that we're consuming as fat. So in the case of carbohydrates, it's going to get broken down and converted and stored as fat. Or in the case of protein and fat, it's just going to get, well, fat's just going to get stored as fat, but the protein too can get converted and stored as well. So the whole idea here is very simple. Obviously, number one, if you can avoid alcohol, that is always your best option. But I know some of you out there are like, yeah, that's not going to happen. Okay, I get it. So let's be mindful about what we're doing and make a decision, because decision making is sexy.
Yes, it is.
We're going to show up and we're going to decide, number one, how many drinks we're going to have. But also we're going to make a decision about eating and drinking at the same time. So our typical recommendation is, hey, if you're going to have that drink, great, have that drink, but you're better off not consuming food along with it. When you sit down for dinner, that is not necessarily the time to also be consuming the alcohol. So the more that you can separate those two things, the better off you're going to be. And once again, I know that this is not, you know, necessarily what everybody wants to hear, but we're just going to give you the honest truth. I mean, you have a decision to make whether you want this situation to bust all the things that you've been working towards, or you want to use this as an opportunity to strengthen yourself, strengthen your decision making, and get better as an individual.
Well, listen, that is literally amazing information that I bet maybe you didn't know. But I do want to just point to one of our clients, Amy, who just had a conversation with our peer success coach, Rachel. And Amy said it felt like so many decisions in the beginning, but because of how we're giving you step by step by step, right? It's just little baby steps. Pick one of these four things, you know, focus on your protein, or just be decisive, right? I am going to go hog wild on Christmas. Go for it then, right? That's your decision. Don't leave any place for shame and guilt, or be mindful of separating your alcohol from your food, because now you know what it does in your body. You know, I always say, once you know something, you can't unknow it. So you're welcome. But back to Amy, she said in the beginning, it felt like I had to make all these decisions, but I realized if I just made one decision and I practiced that for a little bit, then I can bring in the next decision. And I mean, she's down 24 pounds now.
Yeah,
and,
that's really good.
You know, so really focus on one thing here. And I will say this too. When you think about the alcohol, you know, alcohol is only, what, 4 or 5, like a glass of wine is like 5 grams of carbohydrates, but it's about 150 calories because it's full of empty calories. That's just what alcohol is. So I personally, if I'm going to eat and drink, which is rare, but if it happens, I'm going to focus on the glass of wine as my carb, and I'm going to really, really prioritize my protein. Now, in a more ideal situation, I would show up to the event. I might get a drink first. I'd give myself about an hour, right? You guys remember that from college. You got to let the alcohol process, one drink per hour. And then I'm going to go and eat what I'm going to eat, you know? And in the third scenario, I'm going to say to Mike, I'm not going to drink, you know, enjoy yourself if you want, but I'm good. I'll drive. And that's the decision that I'm going to make about it. So we just really want to give you options to be able to go into the holiday season to be successful, right, in the pursuit of your goals, but really focus on one of these four tips here today, put it into practice, and once you get good at it, add the next one in. You can totally do this. We have total confidence in you. We are excited for you, and Mike's going to wrap us up.
Well, in this spirit of options, I want to talk about alcohol options. I don't think we should get off of this just yet, because I know that once we do, people are going to be hanging out there like, so wait a second.
What do I drink?
What do I drink? Like, what, guys, what do you do?
And, nope, no pina coladas.
No, absolutely. And again, that is, you want to talk about sort of the kiss of death, right? It's pairing alcohol with sugar. Like, those are two things that should remain completely opposite of each other. So if you are going to enter this situation and you plan on consuming some sugar, then you should probably plan on not consuming alcohol. If you're going to consume the alcohol, then definitely no sugar. And that's why when it comes to what to consume as far as an alcoholic beverage is concerned, wine is a good choice. Alcohol, straight up. I mean, I will very likely have a couple of bourbons, if not a few, over the course of this holiday season. But I usually take that neat or maybe with one rock in it.
And then for me personally, I enjoy vodka. It's clean. It's clear. You know, there's nothing in it. And I will do vodka, seltzer, and lime. Again, just think about the three ingredients there. Vodka, clean, clear, no sugar. Seltzer, not to be confused with tonic water, because that stuff is loaded with sugar. Don't drink that. And then a lime, literally a lime wedge. And I just squeeze it, and it's great and clean and crisp.
And we'll typically stay away from the beer, because there is, again, you have another situation right there where you are pairing an alcohol along with wheat and gluten. And that's typically why guys who drink a lot of beer have that beer gut. It's because of the pairing of that carbohydrate along with the alcohol.
Did you just decode why people have beer guts?
That's absolutely why.
That's pretty crazy. All right, friends, we'll pick one. Pick a drink. Just kidding. Pick one of these tips, put it into play, and let us know. How did it work for you? We're excited for you. We hope you have an amazing holiday season, that it's just filled with family and goodness and, you know, as little stress as possible, which is good with healthy boundaries. We'll cover that in another episode. But have an awesome one, and thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. If you're a busy working parent like us, you understand the daily challenges. Our mission is to make exercise and nutrition simple and exciting, helping you and your family thrive even on the busiest days. We've got a fantastic free 5-day online challenge that's tailor-made for super busy people like you.
If you like a high-vibe workout environment with professional coaching, swing by one of our franchise studios for a free intro workout.
Check the show notes for details or head on over to purephysique.com when you have a moment. We know those moments are rare.
Until next time, lift weights, eat meat, and never forget, you were created on purpose for a purpose.
Save the neck for me, Clark.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.